You're listening to Booth Talk from the After Movie Diner. And last episode, you'll remember we spoke to Dana DiLorenzo from Ash vs. Evil Dead. And this week, we continue with our interviews with the cast of Ash vs. Evil Dead with the man who would be Pablo, Ray Santiago himself. Yes, indeed. We talked to Ray all about his love of film, his love of acting, and his character Pablo in Ash vs. Evil Dead, and everything that has happened to him over the span of the last two hectic and enjoyable seasons. Ray was awesome, as I've come to expect from this cool crowd. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with the funny, the engaging, the intelligent, the relevant Ray Santiago.
Good. How's it going?
Excellent. So thanks ever so much for agreeing to do an interview with the After Movie Diner. We spoke to Dana recently, and it was an absolute pleasure, and the fans loved it. So we're looking forward to sharing this conversation with the fans, and we're big fans as well. So thank you for that.
Oh, no, my pleasure, man. Happy to do it.
So to the fans, the Evil Dead franchise both scared us, fascinated us, and inspired us. What movies, TV, books, or art scared, fascinated, or inspired you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like movies like Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Requiem for a Dream were all movies that scared me. I think mostly for me, I sort of resonate with like pieces of music as well. Growing up as a kid,
sure,
I really loved to listen to classical music. And sort of like be inspired through that. I love to like close my eyes and listen to classical music and visualize, you know, stories. So as a kid, I was very eclectic. I listened to Beethoven and would do interpretive dances all over the house. I wasn't really, it's one of those questions when someone asks you like what movies inspires you, all of a sudden you're like, fudge, I don't remember like what, you know, it's like when someone's like, what's your favorite movie? I don't remember.
No, I understand.
But as a kid, I did love horror movies as a kid. I mean, one of my favorite movies is A Bronx Tale. I happen to be from the Bronx. So, yeah, kind of a weird answer to your question. But
No, it's the perfect answer. There's no right or wrong answer. It's great. So when you first heard you were stepping into the Evil Dead franchise, were you aware of the fan base and to some extent maybe the gamble that the TV show could have been?
Yeah, I think I was aware of what the – I mean, I was definitely aware of what the franchise was and that it could be a gamble. I think what was the thing that alleviated any sort of, like, doubt or stress going into it was that I sort of had, like, the creator's, like, blessing. And since I felt like, you know, Sam was the guy who created the cult classic comedic horror genre – as long as I followed whatever he said, I'd be okay. And I also felt like Bruce is an amazing leader and, you know, Ash never second guesses himself and is super confident. And so I tried to remain as confident as possible. And I did believe, I don't know if it's just because I was sort of witnessing it and watching it all unfold and was there, but, I did believe that we were going to do a great job and not disappoint the fans. And so I just tried to eliminate doubt and trust that these guys who had been doing it for a long time would lead us in the right direction. I wasn't prepared for the response that the fans have had to the new characters like Pablo, but I, you know, grew up always wanting to be sort of a superhero, and on Ash, I think I have the opportunity to be, you know, the one step closer to being the hero I always wanted to be as a kid. So I was super excited to become part of the franchise, and I also think that we haven't seen even though our show is sort of kooky and crazy and out there and campy, I don't think that the world had seen a character like Pablo, particularly now in a world where we are living with people trying to build walls around, you know, an immigrant like Pablo. And I think it's interesting that he's this character who's, you know, just trying to be a really good person and save the world from evil.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it was obviously a huge inspiration and fantastically played by yourself and obviously Dana as Kelly. It was interesting to see, having been a fan for a long time and having been online for a long time, knowing how grumbly the fans could be, the fact that by the end of the first 20 minutes, really, of the first episode of season one, everyone shut the hell up and then completely embraced everything about the TV show, I felt, and then has continued to, and it's just gone from strength to strength, I think, which is incredible and fantastic. So when approaching the role, you mentioned there, obviously, the original creators, Sam, Bruce, and Rob, being in control. What were the pieces of advice that you got from either Bruce or Rob or Sam, either about the role itself, the franchise as a whole, or indeed dealing with the fans?
I think that Sam said to me, we sat in a room after right before my final audition for Stars, and you know, he said, "Hey man, let's just go in there and get this, you know, final audition out of the way. This is just sort of, you know, we just sort of have to do this. But I just want to ask you, you know, are you ready to go to New Zealand and, you know, hang upside down and be covered in blood?" And it was almost as if he was telling me, like, "You have this. You've got this. You just need to go in there and show them that, you know, you're ready." He said, "Pablo is the eyes of the audience and the heart of the group, and he's a really good person. And as long as you remember that and stay true to him being heart of the unit and trying to be a good person, you won't be led astray." He also said, like, "Don't think about hamming it up. Live in the circumstances in a realistic manner," which is kind of crazy that he would say that to me, given the circumstances that, you know, Evil Dead puts us in. But I understood what he was saying, and I think that I quickly understood what my role was in the project and how I was meant to balance and add a different level that each of us sort of brings to the table. You know, I think that Bruce is the muscle, Dana is the brain, and I am the heart. And together, these three sort of dysfunctional human beings who are actively trying to run away from who they're meant to be, you know, come together to form the ultimate monster fighting squad once they truly embrace who they are and what they've got to bring to the table. And I realize that, I mean, as a Latino actor, you know, being in this industry and making a living off of playing gangbangers and drug dealers, that with Pablo, there was a opportunity to humanize a character that we hadn't seen before. And as long as I stuck to him being a good person and trying to be a hero and trying to have a good heart, that I would be okay. So it was a really heartfelt, real conversation. And then I just went in there and, did what I could do. I brought a broom to my audition because I had to be sweep. I had to sweep in the audition or in the scene, and I didn't really feel like pretending to sweep. And Sam thought it was interesting that I brought a broom. There was also one other guy who was testing for the role that same day, and then I remember getting the part and being on set with Sam, and I said to him, "Well, what did you say to me? I mean, did you say the same thing?" And he said, "I never went into that room." And I thought, "Oh, wow, he made his choice and just believed in me." So I've tried really hard to just throw myself into every bloody situation that Evil Dead puts in front of me, and I think that it's paid off, and I'm living my dream, you know? Like, I used to pretend to be the kid running from the monster and saving people from the monster as a kid, and now on Ash, it's like I do that every day for work, and it's really hilarious to me that this is my job. I'm hogtied for 2 weeks and covered in blood. But what a way to be part of a, you know, what a way to be part of a franchise, a genre. I truly feel honored to be working with these people. Bruce has just always been great guidance in the sense where he and I sort of have a similar relationship on and off camera. You know, I think Pablo idolizes Ash, not because he wants to be like him, but because he sort of can see in sort of believing in himself the way that Ash believes in himself and being confident that he can become a better man. And so the same way with me and Bruce, you know, I look at him and I idolize. I'm like, how do you say these really bad lines and always sound so good? And so I learned so much from him as an actor. He gets it right usually on the first take. He's super professional, and he takes really good care of us. And I said this to him in person in an interview this last year in Comic-Con. I said, like, I'm just so happy to have you be my TV dad. I've always wanted a white dad, and now I've got it. Yeah.
So you mentioned that obviously New Zealand and going down to New Zealand. What's it like filming in New Zealand? Had you been there before? And how long are you there normally while the seasons are shooting?
Well, just to sort of piggyback on my last answer and then I'll segue, it's also to Rob and Lucy. They have been great. And I think the thing that works so well about this franchise is that the people behind it truly are a family unit. They've been loyal to each other throughout the years, and they work together, and they've included and accepted us into their unit. And that is sort of part of New Zealand as well, because when we go to New Zealand, we're in this beautiful, picturesque place where I'd never been there before. I'm so far removed from all of my friends and family, but we're together all the time, on and off camera. When we're not shooting, we're having dinner at Rob and Lucy's or going over to Bruce's for poker night, or Bruce chartered a boat on Easter and took us all to an island, jumped off the boat, and like we were chased by a drone that our like director Mike had. So we have a really good time, and I think that New Zealand, outside of being this beautiful, far removed place, has become the bubble for us to build our family unit and build our bonds to be stronger, so that when we're working together on camera, you really believe that these people care about what happens to one another. We're there for about 6 months, and we have an amazing crew. Second time around, it's nice because you know that you have some friends there that take care of you, look after you. We have an amazing stunt team. My stunt double is a jiu-jitsu master who, you know, he's like my sensei. He's like, you can do this. You know, what's nice about New Zealand that you don't get when you're shooting when you're home is that you're on location, so you get everything is brand new, which is kind of amazing, and it sort of resembles what's happening on camera with these, you know, characters going to different cities and different places and trying to survive. Yeah. I've never had a better apple. Yeah. I have the apples in New Zealand taste amazing. The produce is amazing. The people are amazing. It's beautiful. It seems like it's simpler there, simpler life. The novelty hasn't worn off for me, and I've been there for, you know, 2 seasons now, 6 months at a time.
Excellent. So, you know, obviously we have to talk about the heroic tragedy that befall Pablo at the end of episode 8. Had you been prepped that this was going to happen? Did you just find out from the script? Sort of how did that go down in sort of preparing for that scene?
Well, I think I started to sort of pick up on the foreshadowing throughout the season, and but actually, it didn't actually unfold that way. I was doing the commentary for season one with Dana and Bruce, and Rob came in at the end, and I was like, can you give us like a teaser for like, can you tell us what's going to happen next season? And he was like telling us what's going to happen. And then he basically said, and then Pablo dies. And I was like, oh, okay. Good to know. So each episode when we were shooting, because we don't really get the next one, there were so many instances this season where Pablo would go through, you know, a near-death experience. And I was like, oh, is this it?
Right.
But I just tried to embrace it. And I felt like knowing that that was coming, I wanted to show the world and the fans that he was more than just a sidekick, and that he, you know, had this amazing journey where he went from being just a normal guy who worked at, you know, Valley Stop and became, you know, sort of tried to become this hero that he never thought he could actually be. And even though he had the lowest death count, perhaps he maybe had one of the most important ones. And also too, I kind of understand the value in losing a character like this, on a show where you've just developed, Ash and everybody else's characters to really like become this family unit. It just sort of goes to show you that anything can happen on our show and that no one is safe. And I've become very aware of how the fans have reacted to it. They've truly embraced Pablo and been super sweet on social media, and it warms my heart to know that that he meant so much to them.
Yeah, I mean, the outpouring from the fans of sort of grief and surprise sort of must be a little bittersweet, you know, to have sad to have left, but wonderful to have made such a mark on the franchise with this character.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, he will be remembered as a hero, I hope, you know, and we'll have to see what happens. Everyone's like, oh, no, we think he's coming back. But I don't know. You know, we have two episodes left, and I think the fans will definitely be, some will be happy and some will not, and some will be surprised. And, you know, if he makes it, if he doesn't make it, he'll be remembered as a hero. And if he does make it, I think it's awesome because he's definitely built to kick some more deadite ass now that all that shit's happened. So we'll have to see what happens. But it's been a fun ride, and it was cool going to work every day and being like, how can I die a better death today? Every single day. So
yeah, exactly.
One of the things that's like ironic is that I'm terrified of dying.
Right, in reality.
That's one of my biggest fears, because I don't want like life to end. I don't want the world to exist and me not be able to experience it. And I think that in a bizarre way, subconsciously, it may be why I decided to become an actor.
Yeah.
Or I've gotten some sort of resolve from my fear as an actor, because actually when I was in New Zealand, I was sitting at a diner and a Bruce Lee movie came on, and I love Bruce Lee movies. And I thought to myself, oh, he's dead. But like, here I am watching him and he will live forever. And I get to experience this, and I'm watching it in New Zealand. Like, you know, you just wouldn't, I didn't think like I'm going to watch this Bruce Lee movie in New Zealand and have this moment where I think to myself, oh, you get to live forever as an actor. So don't be afraid of dying.
Whatever happens, you're part of this phenomenal franchise that 20 years after the last entry has suddenly been given this incredible new life, and everyone around the globe is loving it, and they're loving you in it. So that's fantastic. And speaking of which, I have a few questions just to end our conversation today from the fans themselves on our Facebook pages. I would just like to ask those.
For sure.
So Andrew O'Dowd on Facebook, he asks, if this really is the end of Pablo and you in the series, he thinks you're a great comic actor. Do you want to stay in the comedy horror genre, or are there any roles or genre outside of that that you would like to tackle?
I think I'd be happy to stay in the, you know, and stay in comedy. I would also be happy to stay in the horror genre. I think, like, I'm a little guy, but, you know, I think there's different roles that I would love to tackle. I'd love to be a young dad. I'd love to be a cop. There's, like, procedurals that I would love to tackle. But I always saw myself as a dramatic actor, but every acting instructor or teacher that I had was like, nope, you're comedy. And there's one thing that I learned on this show is to just embrace who you truly are. Once I truly embraced what I look like and who I am, it just like lit up the screen. So, I mean, I have 3 mustaches on my face and you can't look at me without laughing because my facial expressions are pretty big. So I'd like to stick with comedy.
Okay, good. Jonesy, CJ Jones on Facebook asks, "Hi Ray, a lot of your scenes have been effect heavy due to your character arc. Could you walk us through the processes you have to go through as an actor doing the effect scenes? And if possible, discuss how you have approached the way you portray Pablo during this season. Love how you seamlessly have managed to slide into the universe of the Evil Dead, and all the best, Jonesy." So he's just asking sort of what you have to go through working with the special effects and so on.
Well, you know, like mentally, I prepared myself by, like I mentioned, Requiem for a Dream is one of my favorite movies earlier. It's because I listened to the soundtrack for this season because it's such a dark soundtrack, and I felt like Pablo was sort of being tortured and tormented with these dark visions, and I needed something to keep me going when I was on set. So when I was off set, I would listen to it at like 4 a.m. when I went running through the dark streets of New Zealand and just tried to keep my mind in that place. And then, or even when I was sitting in the chair and had to do 3.5 hours of makeup when I was the Necronomicon. And by the way, what an amazing opportunity and thing to become, you know, to be part of the franchise is one thing, but to become the Necronomicon is like, whoa, that's like a part of history that I never, saw coming. So I said, like, I've got to look really good as the Necronomicon. So I'm going to work out as hard as I can. In fact, they lightly tattooed the Necronomicon on me in the first stages. And I said, I don't agree. I think that it needs to be all over my body. I think it needs to be from head to toe. It needs to get progressively worse. And so they were like, you know, the directors were like, yeah, you're right. But of course the hair and makeup team were like, so you want to be in the chair longer? And, you know, you have to just be prepared because we don't have a lot of time in the day. And so some days I would just say, like, screw it, I'm going to go home like this. I have to be back in a couple of hours anyway. Let's just keep it on me. And then I'd go home and I'd look in the mirror and I would just start to think about what if this actually happened to me? But you just have to be ready to, you only get a couple of takes. And so you don't save anything for the second take. You do what you need to do and you try to find, that blood when it's coming towards you. You try to make sure you don't screw it up. One thing Bruce Campbell taught me, I've been acting for over a decade and he taught me how to hit my mark. I never realized how loosely I would hit my mark until I met Bruce, and Bruce was like, you gotta make sure you hit that mark. And so technically I've learned so much, and you just become aware of everything around you because you don't have that many takes. You don't complain. You know, Lucy Lawless is incredibly patient and sophisticated, and she's, you know, she's a pop icon as Xena, and she still manages to be ever so humble and a teacher. And I learned that from her. I'm like, if she can do it and she's been in this industry for as long as she has, then so can you. Don't complain, hit your mark, and give them something that they've never seen before. And that's what I try to do on the show.
And as a follow-up to that, Jillian Gardner, I think in the Ash versus Evil Dead fan group, I think, on Facebook asks, who wins the battle getting to the showers after shooting and bathing in blood, or is it all in together?
Well, we have joked in interviews, Dana and I, about when we did shower together in a trailer that was just built with showers, and we just sort of like reflect on what the day was and we laugh about it. But I would say nobody wins because we're all covered in blood and we're always, I'm the last one. I'm always the last one to leave because I'm like still covered in blood and I like to take my time.
Yeah.
But I think we all win because we get bloody together and, it is what it is, part of the territory. So, yeah, I was just thinking about my answer to your question about movies. And I think that, I love movies that, movies like Paris is Burning, which is a documentary about the 80s in New York. I love Woody Allen. I love Darren Aronofsky. And I love romantic comedies, just to say, you asked me, what other genres would I like to tap into? Like, if I could get not just be the best friend in a romantic comedy, but get a romantic comedy that's about me, that would be pretty dope.
And would you ever think, very often actors or writers just think to themselves, well, look, if they're not going to put me in that, I'm going to do my own. I'm going to write my own. I'm going to direct my own. Have you thought about doing something similar?
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of developing a film based on true events that happened this year. And I don't want to speak too much about it, but I quickly have come to realize that the stories that resonate the most within you are the ones that you have to tell. Yeah. Ash has been great because it's an opportunity for me to do something that I never did before. But for the most part, I feel like the stuff that's written for actors like me, we've seen it all before. And so now that I have a platform on Ash, as a somewhat recognizable TV actor, I'm in the process of developing my own projects and trying to make them so that, I have something more to say and leave behind.
Of course. And that's fantastic. And I think also, I don't know whether you agree with this, but I think that the horror genre in general has always, certainly with the best of the directors out there, has always embraced diversity, I think, more so than some other genres. I think I like romantic comedies as well, but I think that what's interesting is there isn't much diversity in them. Most of the diversity in it gets sidelined, as you say, either it's a best friend or even the women in the roles in those films can be kind of sidelined or spoken down to sometimes. And yet, I think in the horror genre, for all its exploitation and for all its negative connotations to the outside world, it does often give positions for diversity to be heroic and to be a leading person as well,
Absolutely. I mean, I think that a large portion of that has to do with the fact that anyone can be a victim and anyone can be a hero. So
we get to
see that in the horror genre. Yes, we're scared, we're cringing, we're laughing at the absurdity of it all, but we do get to see that, in these dire circumstances, when pushed to the limit, anyone can rise to be, to save themselves or someone else. And I guess we identify with that. And I do think that, Stars has fully embraced diversity and what it brings to the franchise. And I'm just so honored to be, in a lot of ways, one of the first male Latino sidekicks to a horror genre on television. It's one of the things I can check off my list.
Definitely. Let's hope there's a lot more to come. I just want to ask this last question from one of the fans, Kimberly Taylor. She asks, can you just talk a little bit about the kinds of freedom of expression you have once the cameras are rolling? Are there reactions, lines, or even scenes that have some sense of improv where you guys just end up rolling with it as you go? Or is it very carefully structured?
No, we do have a good sense of improv. That's the one thing that I love about our creative team, is that you can walk into the room or set and say, this is how I was feeling about this. Can we try it this way? Or, you can change a line here and there. Listen, we realized after season one that our voices had a lot to do with what, made the first season somewhat of a hit. So we kind of were allowed to speak freely and to use whatever we wanted creatively. I know this season I pushed for there was like one moment in episode 8 where I like saved this, you know, the spell to Ball, and they wanted me to walk over and just say it. And I was like, well, I was kind of hoping maybe I could like fly like in the craft. And the director was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, let me show you. And then I showed him, and we did our own version of it. But the next thing you knew, I was on a harness and I was flying across the room with my hands in front of me, you know, yelling this crazy spell at Ball. And then I'm blasted across the room. And I thought, wow, I just totally added that, added like 10 more hours of work to the day. But they bought it, and they and it looked really, really good.
And everyone was talking about it, you know. Everyone was talking about how Pablo got that moment. He got his heroic moment. He got his, you know, big send off. And I think that really paid off, you know, that idea of yours.
I really, yeah. And also too, they were like, people were like, you're too, when I took my shirt off, they were like, you're too buff. Like, why are you so buff? Pablo wouldn't look like that. And I was like, actually, I think we've all sort of underestimated him. And I want people to think twice about who he really is underneath it all. And so I want to have that sort of shocking moment, even if it is just for, you know, his final episode. And I think that it worked out, it paid off. It was cold in that room, and we shot that scene for multiple days. And ultimately I had to keep coming back to do more of the stunt work and stuff like that. But it's not that difficult of a job. It's really fun, actually.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much, that's it. No, I was just going to say, I'm happy to do it.
Well, that's fantastic. And we're happy to watch it, sir. And I can't thank you enough for being on the After Movie Diner today. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. I love all the topics we've covered. And if you do go ahead and do that film in the future with that you produce or direct, I hope you'll come back and talk to us about it. And we all have our fingers crossed and hope to see you in season 3. But either way, we wish you the best of luck in the future, sir, with everything you choose to do.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you.
Have a great day, sir, and take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
A little time after the interview was finished, I got an email from Stars that read, Ray didn't have his favorite films at the top of his head and wanted to pass along a more complete answer to your question. Ray then said, some of the films I love, ironically, are films we paid homage to this season without even knowing it. Films like The Craft, Nightmare on Elm Street, Weekend at Bernie's, and Requiem. And one of my favorites, Jacob's Ladder, which is one of my all-time favorite movies that I find utterly disturbing and would love to remake. He also went on to say, I love films that inspire and teach love and freedom. Films like Paris is Burning, Notes on a Scandal, It Can Happen to You, and this year's Moonlight and Loving. We here at the After Movie Diner would like to just say another huge thanks to Ray Santiago, and I do hope everyone is watching Ash vs. Evil Dead on Stars every week. Episode 10 of Season 2 airs this Sunday. You can find many more interviews like this and our entire coverage of Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 1 and Season 2 over at aftermoviediner.com. Please do check out aftermoviediner.com, not just for all your Ash vs. Evil Dead stuff, but also for all your movie going and movie watching reviews, articles, news, interviews, and more.